is a presentation of Radio Free Minnesota.
He portrays himself and tries to call himself Mr. Right. Mr. Right.
We got a strong team. Jason Lewis, ready to contribute, ready to fight for what's best for this country. Jason Lewis. Thank you and God bless you. Jason Lewis.
He rode a blazing saddle. He wore a shining star. His job to offer battle to bad men near and far. He conquered fear and he conquered hate. He turned dark.
5 minutes now after the hour. Welcome back. Special edition of the Jason Lewis Show right here on FM News Talk 100.3 KTLK. Our continuing coverage of the tragedy in Minneapolis. Talking now with Minneapolis Chief of Police Tim Dolan. He joins us. Welcome to the program and thanks so much for taking some time out of your very precious schedule today, Tim.
You're welcome, Jason.
Who's been heading this up in this very successful recovery effort so far and very well organized? Congratulations to you and everybody involved. But how does this work when a tragedy of this size happens?
Well, it's, you know, there's a lot of hurry up and wait now. I mean, initially, you know, the first hour, 2 hours, it was helter-skelter. We had people, you know, coming out of the river. We had people being pulled out of the river. We had, you know, divers in the river. And we had people coming in from everywhere.
Well, I mean, what is the protocol? When obviously the police department responds, but I heard you had police coming from Chanhassen, coming from Maple Grove, coming from every community, rescuers or the respondents or responders coming from every community. What is the one umbrella which says, is it the host city? Does the chief of police of Minneapolis say, okay, we will instruct people where to go, what to do?
Well, we have a mutual aid agreement with most major cities. And St. Paul sent over a large crew last night that just worked the streets for us. And a lot of them just when something like this happens, really nobody asks about an agreement. The attorneys don't get involved yet. So
they just know what to do.
They'll get involved. When they start trying to figure out, you know, who gets paid for what, but. You ask questions later on something like this.
And what is the status down there now? I mean, I understand there's still 20 to 30, individuals that may be missing, some 50 cars in the river.
Well, you know, that estimate, it's an estimate based on travel, based on size of lanes, and estimated speed, based on what witnesses said. I know that, the county divers are, you know, are trying to work down there. They're finding a number of vehicles, but some of them, they're not sure if they're stacked. They're not sure if it's a long vehicle. And we don't, so it's going to be, the current's been giving them problems. So it's, they're having a little difficulty, and it's going to be very, very slow and methodical as far as them getting those vehicles up.
It's been nearly 24 hours, but is there anything that the average Minnesotan should or should not do to aid in the recovery, aid in the police department's efforts to kind of control this scene?
Well, you know, it's we've got a big perimeter because this scene is still extremely unsafe. I mean, if you've seen pictures of it, we got huge sections of this bridge that are just hanging there. With vehicles on them and so forth. And, obviously the divers are working near there. And so that's problematic. We've got, at least one deceased person that we still haven't extricated, out of there. So there's still a lot of danger and a lot of, so that's why we have the large perimeter and we're keeping people out of there.
Have you ever seen anything like this in your time in the police department?
Not in Minneapolis. No, it's you know, this is you know, your airline crashes and so forth are to this magnitude, and but as far as a bridge falling and the long term effect of, you know, what do we do with traffic? And I mean, this is 35W. It's it's going to jam up other traffic routes for a year, maybe two. So it's going to have a long-term effect.
Well, you guys have done a great job, as always. I mean, Minnesotans always rise to the occasion, and the law enforcement authorities and the responders have done a great job while the top politicians are already blaming each other. So kudos to you guys, and hang in there, and thanks for all the work.
Yeah, and we'll be a little over budget, I think, with all the overtime. A
little overtime budget here, I can imagine, sir. Right. Chief of Police Tim Dolan of the Minneapolis Police Department, thanks so much. You know, that is an amazing thing. I mean, when you think about it, what he just said is how our society works without any overreaching governing authority. I mean, did you hear that? This is how, you know, some of us, and I hate to digress on a very, very, shall we say, melancholy day, but this is what some of us who believe in, and I'm not suggesting the chief is on board with me, trust me, but some of us who believe in free markets, some of us believe that more government doesn't necessarily equal a better society all the time, believe it or not, things work out. Believe it or not, without an overarching central planner, people just do the right thing. They get in line and they wait. They form lines without anybody telling them which line to go into. They travel along the same speed limit without speed limits on the Autobahn. There are no accidents. And when there's a tragedy in Minneapolis, as the chief of police just said, people just respond and do the right thing. But if we all believe that, then there wouldn't be much need for bureaucrats and politicians, would there? So that can't be right. We need FEMA. We need the government. People will do the right thing. And we do need some government. Of course we do. I'm not suggesting we don't. But this whole deliberate response to this tragedy, that it was the fault of lower taxes and less government, is just about the most despicable thing I've heard of since the Paul Wellstone funeral. Here's what I want people to do and people to understand. Go online and go to Dogpile. I'm not much of a Google guy, but go to your favorite search engine and look under the Office of Legislative Auditor Highway Spending Program. Or Highway Spending, the Office of Legislative Auditor. What you will find is a report from the OLA. The Legislative Auditor actually works for the legislature, and they audit branches of government. They look at them and say, are you efficient? Are you not? And in 1997, the OLA did one on highway spending. I want you to all download this. I want you to read it. So when the recriminations come, as they already have started, you will have some ammunition. Here's what the OLA said back in 1997. And it really is quite remarkable when you read it in hindsight now, given the circumstances of the day. Minnesota has about 130,000 miles of roads, the fifth largest in the nation. In 1993, Minnesota spent 52% more per capita on roads than the national average, of which we still do. Higher than average spending. Let me repeat that. Higher than average spending. So when you hear people suggest, gee, it's the lack of funding. We've got $2.3 billion in transportation spending. It's not a lack of funding. The question is it going to bridges and roads? And that answer is no, not all of it by a long shot. The Trunk Highway Fund, the principal source of income or support for the trunk highway system. Now, they were talking about state, and the interstate obviously is a federal system, but they're still going to use this for state political advantage. The revenues for the Trunk Highway Fund are the state gasoline tax, the vehicle registration taxes, and federal aid. All right? But the Trunk Highway Fund only receives 60% of the proceeds from these imposed taxes. By law, our trunk funding formula, which needs to be reexamined in the wake of this tragedy, by law, counties, cities, and townships receive the rest. Now, what does this mean? And this is crucial. What this means is that we spend disproportionately on rural areas. We do not allocate our highway funds based on lane miles traveled. If you get nothing out of today's program other than this, get this. The trunk funding formula needs to be changed. We have a disproportionate weight towards rural Minnesota because rural legislators control that body. And what happens is, instead of allocating maintenance and funding capabilities or funding grants based on lane miles traveled, they do it based on counties, cities, townships, which means the metropolitan area gets shortchanged every season. Every season. Now, that's one thing I want you to remember in all of this. Now, another thing I want you to remember. In the same report, the Office of Legislative Auditor, 1997, a report on highway spending. They took a look at bridges in this report a decade ago and measured structural adequacy, obsolescence, safety, that sort of thing. Here's the quote. Quote, the typical trunk highway bridge is in good condition to fair condition, but there is a backlog of bridges that are classified as having structural deficiencies. MnDOT data indicate that 240 of the 4,600 trunk highway bridges had structural deficiencies that would cost an estimated $100 million to correct. Now, this is 1997, and MnDOT had said a backlog of bridges are classified as structurally deficient. Was Governor Pawlenty governor in 1997? Who was the governor? Who was running the Senate? I mean, this notion that, gee, it's happened in the last 5 years under this governor or under Steve Swigum as speaker is an absolute lie, and this report proves it. This report proves it. I could go on with this stuff, but let me just say that there are two fundamental lessons to take from this tragedy yesterday. One, actually a couple of lessons, but one, the ability of Minnesotans to act on their own and rescue people when they need to be rescued. Everybody deserves a round of applause. We've all lived up to that Midwestern ethic. But number two, we'd better take a look at our funding priorities in state government and, for that matter, the federal government. We better take a look at eliminating non-road spending in transportation budgets, non-bridge spending in transportation budgets. And I'm talking about the mass transit account at the federal level. I'm talking about the Metropolitan Council and mass transit at the state level. I'm talking about the myriad of things that fall under the rubric transportation that have nothing to do with keeping bridges safe and roads paved. Nothing at all. We better take that from all of this, or those lives will be for naught. 16 after 4, I'm Jason Lewis. Contact line here, 651-989-5855. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann will join us in the next segment, but right now I want to get to the phone calls at 651-989-5855. First up, this segment, Ed in Bloomington. Hello, sir. How are you?
How are you doing, Jason?
We're hanging in there, buddy.
By the way, kudos for last night's coverage. That was good.
Thank you, sir, and my thanks to everybody here at KTLK. What a great job that Jeff Manasso and Dan Connery and Kirsten Klein and Langdon Perry, and I'm forgetting all the people we had out in the scene. It was really a remarkable team effort, and I think we gave the listeners really the best coverage in the metro area on the radio.
On the radio. Well, actually, on Fox News, Jeff Manasso, I saw his name flash on the screen a few times, too, on Fox. So, anyway, I don't know if you touched on it. I wasn't expecting you to be on early today. I don't know why we bothered calling the NTSB.
Ed, I need to interrupt you. We've got Governor Tim Pawlenty holding a press conference. You hold on, and I'll come back with you right after this coverage of Governor Pawlenty live.
How quickly do you think that you would be able to get heavy equipment in there to
put
that up?
Yeah. The rescue workers now, including the full array of people that we described earlier, are working with the NTSB to make sure that as they remove debris, it doesn't affect the investigations that will be taking place. But it's first and foremost determined by the safety of the divers. So it has to do with the current speed of the river. Also has to do with the equipment being in position to lift it, and hopefully as soon as possible.
At this point, we are working with the Hennepin County Medical Examiner. At this point, we're confirming that four have died. I fully understand the desire to get as much information as possible on that, but I strongly support the medical examiner's philosophy that they should fully inform the families on that. So we do ask for patience on that. It will move slower than most people want. But the people we are most focused on are, of course, the victims at this point and their families.
Anything else? Understood that we had an immediate inspection of those three bridges that have a similar structure to this one. What was the deal with the other bridges? Are you calling for inspections of all Minnesota
yes.
bridges after that, but we're prioritizing with those three?
Yes. First of all, Tom, we have the normal inspection process, which happens regularly, and Minnesota has been cited as one of the better states in that regard. But I'm not comfortable with that. I want to make sure that we review all of the bridges in Minnesota in addition to the normal inspection cycle. So we're going to do an emergency routine or emergency round of inspections in priority order, starting with those three bridges that have a same or similar design that I shared with you earlier. Secondly, bridges that fall in that category of structurally impaired. There are 106 of those on a state level and more at the local level. And then the third category would be the remaining bridges. But that would be in addition to the normal cycle of inspections. And we'll also be using a firm to evaluate the entire inspection process, timelines, protocols, in addition to helping us with additional personnel to do the inspections.
Governor, can you talk about your...
Did you have a follow-up, Tom?
Is it your sense that we have seen a shift? Because you've called for an independent review of the inspection process. NTSB was here today talking about how they are going to review, how they do the inspection process. You sit on the National Board of Governors. We have 80,000 bridges in this country. They're in the same condition, the same designation as this one. Do you sense that this is a watershed moment in terms of how we look at bridges and infrastructure in our country?
Yes. And Tom, I'll also remind you that in addition to the structurally impaired designation, there are at least two other designations that are problematic or troubling that have an equal or greater number of bridges in them. So it's really an understatement to say 70 or 80,000 bridges nationwide. But whether it's bridges, roads, electrical grids, other things, it's pretty clear that the country is behind on infrastructure and improvement needs to be made. I'll also just say, obviously, there was failure in the bridge, but other things didn't go well or appropriately here. And that there's going to be tough questions asked by me, by the NTSB, by these outside investigators, and we will make sure we get answers and they get addressed aggressively and promptly.
Follow up, is it your sense that this is a disaster waiting? I don't want to overstate this, but is it your sense that this is a disaster just waiting to happen elsewhere?
Well, again, I want to remind you that that designation of structurally deficient does not necessarily mean that bridges are unsafe or in need of immediate replacement, as we went through earlier today. But I think anybody who looks at the national picture, the national statistics, and says we don't have a problem would be naive or misleading the situation. We do have a major problem. I'm sorry, there was a gentleman back here. Was that you, sir?
Yeah,
go
ahead. The subject of special session came up earlier. Is there any more developments on that? Can you characterize your discussion with legislative leaders?
Yes, and I should say Speaker Kelleher from the House and Senator Pogemiller have been with us through much of the day today, both on the tour and in the briefings, and we've been in contact with them and others. All of this is going to get done and get done aggressively. We will do anything and everything it takes to make sure that this recovery effort is done well, that the investigations are done.
All right, we are listening to Governor Pelenty as he is fielding the predictable questions, one overstating the structural deficiency of the bridges nationwide, and the other silly question, of course, is whether that means we need a special session and we should raise the gas tax. I mean, this is really, really an amazing exploitation of a tragedy of which I have not seen for quite some time. I mean, if we want to have a debate on why roads are being neglected, if in fact they're being neglected, and there's a fair case to be made that we need more road capacity. Nobody's been arguing that louder for decades in Minnesota than conservatives and people like me. But let's argue on why we're spending billions on mass transit boondoggles. Let's argue on why we've increased the health and human services, income transfer, welfare, Hillary Care program in the millions in Minnesota. Let's argue why we keep throwing money at K-12 education, where per pupil spending goes way above inflation and population growth. You want to talk about funding? Let's talk about it. But that's not what this is about. This is about getting the governor to raise a gas tax, to raise taxes, go back on his tax pledge, because we're just not taxed enough, and all you greedy taxpayers are responsible for the tragedy yesterday. I have never seen the liberals fall in line quicker than now. Ed, back to you in Bloomington. What a despicable and pathetic scene right now with regard to the media and the political establishment.
Well, this started last night. I don't know who that reporter was, but it was from Channel 5. His comments were probably triggered by what happened last night. Former transportation commissioner, who, by the way, was in charge in 1997 when that report came out, Mr. Tinklenburg.
Wait. Be careful about that. Elvin Tinklenburg was during the Ventura administration, and I don't think Ventura was elected till 98.
Well, okay.
But well, nevertheless.
Maybe it was during the Carlson administration.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway. he came out and said, bold face, that, and I don't know why we call the NTSB in, because this guy's got it figured out, evidently. The reason the bridge came down is because we haven't had a gas tax increase since 1988.
Funny you should mention that, Ed. Listen to this soundbite, the one you just referenced, from former Transportation Commissioner under Mr. Ventura, Elwin Tinklenburg, last night playing the political game.
With the constant deterioration of the budget at MnDOT and the resulting layoffs, failure to replace people, a larger and larger number of senior people who are retiring, I think that's really had a toll on the department and its ability to keep up. There are thousands of bridges that they're responsible for in the state of Minnesota, and a lot of work, and it's a tribute to their work that we've not had anything like this.
Well, this is a federal bridge, of course, is a federal interstate. Now, the state's responsible for corrective action, but the point here is, you're right, Elwin Tinklenburg used this for political football to suggest we need more money. And by the way, the MnDOT budget has gone up. It has not gone down. And instead of taking a look at, and let's be clear about this, Ed, maybe there's a problem with MnDOT. Maybe there's a problem with complacency. Maybe there's a problem with work rules. Maybe government dysfunction, even if it's well-funded, is the cause of this. And maybe Mr. Tinklenburg is just circling the wagons.
Well, not only that, but evidently there's enough money under Governor Pawlenty's administration, even though the bridges under the federal guidelines only have to be inspected every 2 years. In Minnesota, we do it every year. In fact, there was an inspection.
Mm-hmm.
In progress as the work was being done on the bridge. The report was due out in September, according to the governor today. So Mr. Tinklenburg is talking out his, you know what.
You got that right, buddy. And then people have the gall to criticize President Bush today for returning the fire. This is how political football start. 31 now after 4. Ed, thanks for the call. We'll be back with more calls right after this. Welcome back. Continuing coverage of the tragedy in Minneapolis now on FM News Talk 100.3 KTLK. I am Jason Lewis. And in Washington, outrage over the bridge collapse has instigated some blame game finger pointing going on already in the halls of Congress. Joining us now from the nation's capital is 6th District Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Michelle, welcome back to the program. Sorry on such a sad occasion.
It's a horrible day, Jason. My heart is back in Minnesota right now, but the most important thing that we can do is make sure that we pass legislation today to make sure that we can secure the federal money so that we can get this bridge, not only the destruction cleared away, but get it rebuilt.
Yeah, there seems to be, when it comes to funding, I mean, I've heard Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid today. I've heard Chris Dodd. I've heard, in fact, here's what Senator Amy Klobuchar had to say last night with regard to the funding question.
And again, we don't really know exactly what happened here. Obviously, across the country, there is infrastructure problems. I've been here for just 6-7 months, but I have already seen some of the local jurisdictions coming to us because of the lack of funding they've been seeing across the country.
Now, you've been talking, or you're talking right now, about funding to get the thing rebuilt again and the usual federal funding that follows such a disaster. But what Klobuchar and Reid and others are talking about is some sort of failure on the part of Congress and or the president, although the president doesn't appropriate money, to adequately secure roads in America. Well, I mean, is this a little premature for the blame game?
I think I'm frankly appalled, to be honest with you, because what I have seen here in the House is I've seen Democrats and Republicans come together and say, you know what, this isn't politics. This is about people right now. This is a very real human tragedy, and we need to come together as a nation, get behind the people of Minnesota, get this bridge rebuilt, because that's something government can do. Government can step in. It's a federal bridge. Let's clear away the debris, get it built. We can do that. We can't make people's lives whole, but we can build bridges. That's what we should focus on. I am appalled that anyone would be talking blame, because today in the House, we have a bill whereby we are going to be passing for $250 million to be able to build the bridge and build the approaches and to get it done as quickly as possible. So we've come together, Democrats and Republicans here in the House. We aren't pointing fingers. This isn't about politics. We just want to make sure we help the people of Minnesota. So what I've seen on our side is a very good thing. And not just the Minnesota delegation. I've had people come up to me all day just brokenhearted over what's happened in Minnesota as they're watching it on TV.
Right.
And we even, at lunch today, all the Republican members of Congress, 203, were together today, and we prayed. I mean,
yeah.
we the members of Congress prayed for the people of Minnesota because the members here fully appreciate what a tragedy this is for our people in Minnesota.
Before you were elected to the United States Congress, you served a number of terms. Or how many terms did you serve in the state Senate?
I served in the Minnesota Senate for 6 years. Those are four-year terms.
Yeah.
But I came in on a two-year special and then a four-year term again. So I was elected and reelected.
My, how the time flies. I can remember when you were first elected. But
right.
Beyond that, there's always been a debate over this sort of thing at the state level as well. Len Levine, who was the transportation guru for Rudy Perpich, had this to say last night with regard to this tragedy as well. Len Levine under a Rudy Perpich.
When I was there, Rudy Perpich, in our administration, we had the largest funding in transportation 2 years in a row. It was a bipartisan effort. Republicans and Democrats, the Chamber of Commerce, the unions, everybody participated in getting that funding. If we could get that kind of bipartisan effort together again and put together a program, Minnesota could lead could be the model for the nation. I'd be happy to see that.
You know, I'm just getting this uneasy feeling, Congresswoman, that here we go. It's all the fault of the no new taxes crowd. It's all the fault of not raising the gas tax this legislative session. And I already had a news anchor suggest that. We've had questions from the media saying we've got to have a special session and more state money devoted. Where is the nexus or the link here between this federal bridge and a gas tax in Minnesota?
The reality is we have seen the most horrific engineering disaster in the history of our state occur. We need to focus on that right now. It doesn't appear that anyone intentionally did anything wrong. We'll find out in the days and weeks why this bridge collapsed, and then I'm fully confident that we'll make sure that we inspect all the bridges in our state as the governor wisely proposed. We will not only inspect them, we'll make sure that if there are repairs that are needed, we'll do them. And again, I find it offensive that there would be finger-pointing right now that somehow someone did something wrong because enough money wasn't appropriated. No one has suggested, let's not rush to judgment, no one has suggested that there's been a lack of money spent on bridge repair caused this. So let's just take a deep breath, step back, and realize there are still people in that river right now. That's what we focus on. Let's focus on the human tragedy. Figure out what went wrong. We'll do our part here in Washington to send all the money back that is needed, and then let's get all the waivers through so that we can cut through all the environmental regulations and all the rest and get this bridge built.
Another thing in Washington that might be advisable is to take a look at the 1982 created mass transit account. When Minnesotans pay their gas tax at the federal level, literally billions of dollars from the nation are siphoned off in transportation user fees to go to the mass transit account, which then holds states hostage on building mass transit projects instead of getting road money to the states, or bridge money for that matter.
Well, when I first came into the Minnesota State Senate, Jason, back in 2000, one of my main platforms was the Stillwater Lift Bridge. That is the longest-running bridge construction project in the history of the United States. That bridge is over 70 years old. I was worried back then that that bridge is being held together by baler twine, and we've got to get a new bridge built across the St. Croix River from Stillwater. We have not focused enough money on roads and bridges, and we just have to do that in Minnesota. But no one is suggesting, at least I hope they aren't, that it was lack of money on bridge inspections or that someone was somehow negligent and not doing due diligence with checking out this bridge. We'll find out what that is, and we need to focus on that. You know, today I had a conversation with a congresswoman from Oklahoma, and the I-40 bridge went down in Oklahoma. And she told me, get this, they had 500 feet of that bridge that collapsed. In 47 days, they had that bridge rebuilt. And they did it because they went through waivers, and they were committed to getting that bridge built. They worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Many of those waivers would be environmental waivers, would they not?
That's right. And that's what we need to do. We need to go through all of those waivers, focus on getting the bridge built, get the decision makers on the ground with blueprints in their hand 24/7, and focus on rebuilding that bridge. Finger pointing can come later if some people want to engage in that. I don't. Because it's not politics now.
So you're going to focus, a waiver for the listeners out there is there's a normal protocol, normal rules, that for any construction project, that the bid has to be let in such a way, you've got to meet this compliance, many of them environmental. In order to expedite things, you could exempt something from you could get a waiver to exempt the rule, and that's what you're trying to focus on to get this thing expedited.
That's right. And Jason, by a waiver, that doesn't mean that we short shrift safety. There is nothing that is short shrifted on safety, and trust me, it's right by the U. There won't be any environmental hazards that go into place. All it says is, you know, like before World War II, if we wanted to build a bridge, we built that bridge. If we wanted to build a road, we got the road built.
Yeah.
Today, there are so many hurdles that anyone has to go through that literally it can take 10 and 20 years to get a bridge built.
Well, and it has over the St. Croix, thanks to one fundamental group called the Sierra Club, tying up the bridge in the courts. Michelle Bachmann, Congresswoman from the 6th District, thanks so much once again for joining us on such short notice on a very sad day. I'm Jason Lewis. 651-989-5855 as we continue our coverage over the deadly bridge collapse over the Mississippi River, I-35W, bringing you all the newsmakers here on the Jason Lewis Show, a special edition which will run till 7 o'clock. As always, we started an hour earlier today to give you the latest information on this, and we will continue with our KTLK news team as well. In Eden Prairie, John, you're on the Jason Lewis Show. Hi.
Hey, Jason, I just wanted to agree with you. This is the usual suspects and their despicable pandering because of a tragedy, whether it's Cindy Sheehan or, trotting out the welfare mother. Now they're going to use it. And the odd part is liberals always get away with causing the problem and then blaming their opponents for for what actually happened.
Well, it's a catch-22. They will say we need to fund a program, let's say sex education. When it fails and we actually get more illegitimacy, then they say, well, that just proves we need more funding.
Exactly.
And it never ends. So that we need, I'm not trying to criticize the MnDOT folks, but the fact is they were responsible for this. The people that did the inspections, the government. They were responsible. So if you want to hold somebody accountable, hold the government accountable. If you think they did a bad job, why would you want to give them more money?
Yes, and why did we spend $1 billion on light rail instead of fixing the roads that all of us actually use?
Which is why the calls for funding and tax increases have no empirical credibility whatsoever. If they were really concerned about funding, they would cut Health and Human Services, they would cut mass transit, they would cut all of those things and devote them to bridge safety. They have not. They have diverted money from that. They've spent it elsewhere. I mean, think about this. If you think about, we've got a crisis, John, in transportation funding, and that somehow caused this. But then you look at the overall budget, and the overall budget has actually gone up faster in the last 10 years than before, say. Then the crisis is not in overall funding. The crisis is in priorities.
Exactly. Where is the money going and where should it go? We don't need any more taxes.
I know. It really is despicable. John, thanks for checking in tonight. Chris in Minneapolis, you were at the scene. Tell us what you know on FM News Talk 100.3. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, I just wanted to give you a little personal report. I was there yesterday. I ended up getting down there by the Command 1 Center about 7 o'clock, so it was a little bit later, trying to get through all the traffic and everything. But I actually am an EMT, and I had the privilege to help out with the Red Cross and with a bunch of the children that got off the bus.
Our thanks to you for that.
And also, I also had the privilege of helping out with some of the. Construction workers that weren't that critical that they needed to be hospitalized.
Yeah, they were on the scene, on the bridge, when the thing went down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, most of them were.
Yeah.
I had also talked with one who, they had just started their shift about a half hour before the incident happened. And so, or that's what I was told, they arrived to the site about a half hour before their shift was about, or before the incident happened. And what, you know, I sat down when I was taking care of these guys and fixing them up, and I sat down and talked to them, and it was more like, I think it was the supervisor, I can't be for sure, that I was talking to, but he told me that, you know, luckily They had guys spread out all along the bridge. If the incident would have happened 20 minutes later, everybody would have been right in the middle of the bridge, and it would have been a lot more disastrous. But they also, I also talked to them and asked them why, you know, they're the ones working on the bridge. I know there's a lot of analysis and a lot of people that saying that they did reports and stuff on this, and I'm not saying anything bad about it, but just for a personal first-hand experience to ask these guys who are working on the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I asked them what do they think was the cause? And at the time they hadn't even really started working. So I know some people had said that it was because of the construction that made it fall. Well, at the time they weren't even really working on it. They were just getting set up. According to these guys.
Yeah, right.
And but
we don't know what the cause was, and we won't know for quite some time, and we don't know if it's appropriate to blame somebody or if it's just a matter of one of those things happens. I mean, there is no risk-free society, as tragic as the day is. So I don't have a problem with waiting on that. I don't have a problem with waiting on all of the questions. I have a problem with people already using this, exploiting this for political purposes. I'm Jason Lewis on KTLK. All right, two more hours coming right up as our live continuing coverage of the disaster in Minneapolis continues. The I-35W bridge collapse. We'll get the latest for you with the news at the top. We'll get your reaction at 651-989-5855. Don't go anywhere. I'm Jason Lewis, and you're on Radio Free Minnesota.